Grand Rising, Grand Rising. Thank you for showing up to another episode of That White Girl. I am actually on location, so that's kind of cool today with Romel Williams. We're at the Bazaar Coffee Bar off 22nd Street in Birmingham, Alabama. And we're about to chop it up with her. She is writing a book called Unfiltered. I've read a few pages and it'll take your breath away. I think it's important though that we have this conversation. So I'm super excited to have her on here. I've been talking about this with her for a couple months probably. Yeah. So thank you for showing up, or for me showing up and you being here and coming and having this conversation. It's not the most easy one, I would assume, for a lot of people maybe to intake and also for you to share with. But, you know, I appreciate you. How you doing today?
I'm good. Great. I'm doing good today.
Good. I'm glad. It's good to see you. So let's talk about you. Like, where did you even get to the point where you said, you know what, I'm going to write a book?
Well, I've been thinking about it for about 4 or 5 years now. And but I've been hesitant.
Yeah, and it's cheaper.
And the hesitation comes from there's going to be a lot of unveiling of family mishaps and mishandlings and things like that. And I really didn't want to write anything because I wanted to take my family's feelings into consideration. But what 2020 kind of revealed to me is that you can love your family where they are and still expose the things that happened. And I don't blame my family for anything. I think they did the best that they could do with what they were equipped with, mm-hmm. and the information that they had, mm-hmm. and the upbringing that they had. So mm-hmm. all those things come into play. And somebody else needs to hear this, because I know I'm not the only one that has gone through this
right.
tumultuous childhood and kind of a scattered young adult because of the
right.
childhood, and then to have other experiences on top of that. So I just want to share my story because I want people to understand you can go through all of these things and you still have a purpose.
Right.
There's a divine time for you to show that purpose, and you don't have just one purpose.
Right.
Because that would be terrible if you fulfill that purpose and then you have nothing else
right.
to
exactly.
live for. So
exactly.
we're ever changing and ever evolving, and so that's basically what Unfiltered is about, is taking the deck that you've been dealt and doing the best that you can with that.
Mm-hmm. I feel you on that one. My best friend's mama, I call her Mama Sales. I don't know if I can say her name, but she'll be all right. I remember a few years ago, she sent me a meme and it said, you basically, it's not your responsibility to, you know, or I don't know about responsibility, but it's not your place to basically bitch about the hand you've been dealt. It's your
right.
opportunity. What it is you are in position to play the hell out of the hand you got.
Right.
And you get the hand you get dealt sometimes until you get to a certain age. You know what I mean? We don't pick our families. We don't pick our parents.
Right.
We don't pick trauma, you know, at a young age, especially, you know, we don't pick not feeling safe and bringing those into, we don't even know what to do with that stuff coming into adulthood. So,
right.
you know, of course we get scattered because our energy's been broken into about 50 different locations within
right.
this family unit that's supposed to be, you know, a safe structure.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I'm just saying, absolutely, it needs to be said and heard. I think for more women, I think on a more spiritual level than what, you know, a lot of women see it as, oh, you know, for women. But the reality is that I think everybody needs to understand what you're saying and where you came from, because your seeds are affected. You're affected. Your entire generation, you know, your
right.
communication with your cousins and your relatives and that sort of thing kind of falls back on your past. So I think it is very important. And
kind of being able to see, oh, I had kind of a messed up childhood here, and this is maybe why I react to things this way, and that gives you an opportunity to correct that behavior or
mm-hmm.
attitude and look at it from a different direction or perspective, and just allow yourself the space to heal, because you can't heal if you don't know what's really wrong with you.
Right, exactly.
Or I'm just going to push everything that happened to me and sweep it under the rug, and I don't have to deal with it. And it doesn't right. work that way.
Right, right. I agree. I absolutely agree. And this comes from personal experience as well, too. Yeah. I think when you were telling me initially about the book, we had the conversation. So, I come from, incest and molestation and predators, yeah. really, rampant on one side of my family. So, I get it. And I think the reason that it's so important for all of us to speak our truth is because I think that each one of us have a somewhat different story.
Yeah.
And so it might not relate, but I think, as far as verbiage goes, sometimes when you speak to people, it speaks differently to, different people depending. And the way I talk to people, some people look at me like, I'm speaking a foreign language. But that same person would look at your story that's somewhat similar to mine or has similarities and be like, oh, yeah, I get it,
Yeah.
So, they say that, we are uniquely made, that we are. So if we are and we all have a different relationship, then we all have a different relationship to each other. What I'm saying? So
that's true.
I know I haven't said it yet. I'm going to say this. I think it's really brave what you're doing. Like, really brave because, I think coming from a childhood like that, you walk in a lot of fear, and misunderstanding. I did. I was scared of everything and everybody. I didn't trust nobody.
You always had to put on a brave face.
Right. I mean, you have to because, first of all, you're a child. You're supposed to be resilient. That's the first thing. And secondly, of course, at that age, you feel like, as far as you're concerned, you've done something. I mean, you have no idea what's going on anyway.
Right.
Absolutely no concept of it, but there's still, there's an automatic shame energy behind it, I think, because of the energy of the perpetrator. I mean, regardless of what they believe or what they've been doing or whatever. But, we walk in that energy, not knowing, not understanding, and, smiling at everybody's face and doing the kids stuff and doing what they do. But at the end of the day, we broken and we walk into a broken world.
Right.
And like you said, your purpose in all of this is not just for other people to relate to you, but to you to finally maybe heal some wounds so that brokenness can finally be something way more valuable to you than what it has been up to this point.
Right.
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 So I don't want you to, tell the whole book, but I mean, at least touch on some of the things that, that you're speaking about, even if you don't give details, at least some of the things that you're talking about in the book. Like, I know it's your whole life, but
it is
narrow it down a little bit. Let her narrow it down.
It's my whole entire life. And basically, short version, we're going to talk in that book. I'm going to talk about some of the first traumatic experiences, and we're talking about from the beginning, from 5 years old, mm-hmm. my brother going up for adoption, move fast forward to 8, my mom killing my stepfather in front of me, and then we're going to go through some preteen stuff, and living and going back home to my mother after her being incarcerated, and it's not other way. I was going to try to make a cute way, but it's not another way to put it. Just living the street life as a preteen, teen.
Right.
And gauging yourself through that kind of situation. And we're going to fast forward. We're going to talk about the sexual assault. We're going to talk about the suicide attempt. We're going to talk about all of those things that have changed and the dynamics and getting to the point where I am now as a proud. Right. Strong, and I use that word loosely.
Don't, but go ahead. please don't.
Strong woman who's endured a lot, and I'm ready to share all of me, not just those experiences, but why I love the way I love, the reason I give the way I give, and it's because of all of those experiences.
Right.
And I just think right now it's just divine time for me to get this done and to do it.
Right. Right.
Like, all the things are falling into place.
Right. So. Right. Now it's, but that's kind of how you walk in your life, right? Have to figure out, at what time, like you said, the divine purpose. Oh, okay. We'll find the divine purpose. Okay, go ahead. I know we had a a brief pause there, so we apologize. I apologize for that, but you know, we on location. We on location. You know, Bizarre got to keep going. So, so anyway, we're talking about where, you know, getting to this point in your life, and like we were talking about how you just, you know, you have a purpose in the beginning. You said, you know, and there's a time and a place for that purpose.
Yeah.
And that's where you're at now, and that's why you're writing this book. And I'm just wondering, even on a personal level, like, how challenging is it to you to actually put this shit to paper? Ooh, for real, like, to really have to you know, live.
It's been hard because I've had to I have had to take a chapter, write it out, and then decompress afterwards. Because I've had to, I'm reliving some of those things, and whether I wanted it to happen or not, some of those old feelings of resentment and anger and anxiety, all those things kind of resurfaced as I went through and kind of tried to write about some of those things, which was to be expected. But so self-care has been super important, and having my own little alone time to just kind of deal with it and process it. But on the other end of that, I see where I am now, and it's way different.
Yeah, I bet.
It's way different, and I like the person that I am.
Right.
Now, the other person, the angry person, and vengeful and selfish, we're not there anymore. So I can look back, look at me now, and say it's not the same person.
Right,
anymore.
And definitely the person that I'm working on becoming.
Right.
I feel you. I say it all the time. I think one of my friends said it. It was hilarious when I said it, but I say it all the time. I say, I was the type of person that had to, I know these people that get up, they know exactly who they are, they know exactly what they want to do with their life, they know exactly where they're going, wounds or no wounds, and they're just resilient at a level that some people aren't, you know?
Yeah.
And they know where they're going and what they're doing. I wasn't. I'm always the one, you know, that I had to figure out who I wasn't. I had to go through every stage of who I wasn't and be like, okay, I might not know who I am, but who I'm not is this bitch right here. I don't like her. I'm not okay with her. Her behavior is not okay. You know, and sometimes I would have to address that same, I'm going to call her a bitch, because sometimes she, you know, I'm just saying, as an energy, she was just hateful and ugly and, you know, bitter and resentful. Like, same with you, you know, and all these things. And you operate in that place because you don't know no better.
That's true. And you'll see a common thread throughout the book of reinventing myself and trying to reinvent myself and trying to put myself in different situations just to kind of figure out who I am.
Well, and this is, wouldn't you say now, especially writing a few pages out and getting some chapters in order, that this part of your healing journey is probably, you know, getting close to like a finale, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Getting it out there, like, like, present yourself to the world kind of thing.
Yes.
You know?
So. It actually feels good, too. It does.
Well, that makes sense that it would. I mean, you know, to be able to speak on all of this in one place, you know, at one time, and be able to say, you know, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing. And, look, I got to this point that I'm writing a book. You know, I'm writing a book, regardless of what the book is about or where I'm at a place in my life where I can actually...
I can share.
And I can, and I'm doing this, and I'm going to do this, and, you know, and putting yourself... And, you know, words are important. They create. So, you know, you're putting all of this energy out there, getting rid of all the words you didn't, weren't able to, you know, have back then when you didn't have a voice. And you know, it's got to be incredibly powerful for you.
It feels great. And to be honest, it does feel good. And it feels like a just big release. Honestly, it feels like a relief. Like, I've gone through therapy, still going through therapy. But there's nothing like the feeling of I'm actually really, like, letting it go.
Yeah, like on every level of every chakra you got, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, on every level of energy you are, because I can, I mean, I don't know about you, I'm not saying I can see you, I know you a little bit, but I can imagine you like me. I'd be, you know, snot coming out my nose and shit, crying. And but knowing you got to get through it, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the more that you type out, the more that you, you know, I'm going through some conflicts with my seeds right now. And, you know, I emailed my son and I'm just the whole, you know, from the first word, like, baby boy. And then I'm like, you know what I mean? But when you get done and it's out there and you've, you know, cleared that throat chakra, you know, then your heart chakra follows. And then there's this like whole relief of like, well, at least it's there and it's out and it's spoken and it's not a secret. Do you think, yeah. Do you feel like a lot of the secrecy behind it is it was really powerful in the brokenness part of your life? Like
there was potential secrecy.
Right.
Because of all the things that happened. Took on the shame that my mother carried. And for a long time felt, just carried that damage.
Right.
That damage feeling. And because she made poor choices and I'm her seed.
Right.
And not only did I carry that, but the people looked at me that way too is oh, well, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so she's just gonna be
right
just like a mom.
Right, exactly.
And so you carry that too, and that I gotta prove everybody wrong.
It's too much.
It is.
It's too much, and expect to come out healed just because. I mean, even now, you know, I remember in my most broken seasons that, you know, I started learning about, you know, spiritually looking for something, anything, you know, above and beyond, because whatever I was doing was not working for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I started, you know, like with affirmations with my kids, and I was broken. I didn't even do affirmation for myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do every day. You're going to say these words and you're going to say them out loud and it's never going to, you know what I'm saying? And I started being able to find little bitty tiny ways to put some healing into my children's life because I was so aware of my brokenness, I couldn't do shit about it. You know, right. Just watch myself like kind of live through this brokenness and knowing that I was doing it and being aware of it, you know. And so this goes back to how important it is for you to say what you're trying to say and what you're getting out on these pages, not trying to say what you are saying.
Yeah.
You know, and to speak your truth. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a book for everybody, but If the fact that, you know, more people read about more people that have more similarities in life and more brokenness, at least then maybe they become verbal at some level,
right.
Whether they're writing it or whether they're...
And it also gives other people perspective, like the people that tried to take care of me in my youth and not knowing
right
what to do.
Right.
They may understand this child has gone through this and
right.
You know, so this may be
right.
How they're feeling. This may be why they're reacting this way.
Right.
This may be why they have all this going on.
Right.
Just to create some awareness.
Right.
I'm not the only kid who had a mom who was incarcerated. I'm not the only kid who had a mom who was addicted to drugs.
Right.
I'm not the only adult who had a mom
right.
That was addicted to drugs. And,
right.
Bringing this full circle, and the newest conflict has been how can I, because now she's in her senior years and in her silver moments of her life, and where she is not as capable of caring for herself as she should be.
Right.
And how do you care for somebody that didn't really care for you in that way?
Yeah. It's so challenging. No, I get that. I did not have that experience. And I haven't really said this out loud on any of my podcasts, but since we are talking to it, and one of the reasons why, you know, I believe, me personally, I never force my beliefs on anybody, but I believe people are drawn to each other from pain and through our pain and our past pain. I believe that we connect on a much deeper level from the pain than we do from, oh, we had a great childhood kind of conversation. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'm becoming aware in my adult life of how narcissistic my mother was. Huh. And I've always been aware
they
of...
must have been twins.
Yeah. You know, I've always been aware of how she was not capable of being the mother. But, you know, and I say this all the time too, you know, I was smarter than my parents by the time I was probably 6 or 7, both of them. And I had evolved past both of them by the time I was probably 11. And I was an only child. Like, I had nowhere to go with who I was and, you know,
yeah,
what I, you know, created. I didn't know. But the older I get, the more I see the brokenness in my mother that she has never healed and never addressed and never, you know, got through. And I see how conflicting it all is too. Like, some of it doesn't even make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like,
and sometimes it makes you feel sorry for them when you actually realize they didn't.
Right.
They didn't have what they needed either.
No, absolutely.
And so they didn't
not.
Know how to be
right
parents.
Right, right. And so, but drawing that line where, you know, I'm not a big card person and telephone person and writing letters. I'm just not that person. I'm not a follow up girl like that. And my mother is. But, like, you know, every once in a while, birthday, you know, whatever, I try to get a card. It's really hard. It's really hard to read those
How
cards.
How do you find the right Mother's Day card?
For a woman who has abused you.
Yeah.
Whatever abuse, whatever word you put before that abuse is it doesn't matter, okay? What matters is that after that word comes abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And what happens is, and I would say in our situation, regardless of what our mothers did, because my mother was not a drug addict and she did not go to prison. And, you know, I lived a very white life with both of my parents, just, you know, being alcoholics and being broken and, you know, being, you know, not secured and no one taking care of me and keeping me safe, you know. But there's still what happens is that they created a generation of broken children, regardless of how they broke us.
Yeah.
You know, they broke us, and then we end up here, and I ended up, you know, I'm here. I am at 50 years old, sitting with you, and. Like, my energy today is, like, I know, I mean, we haven't talked about this, but, like, as soon as I was reading that, like, I mean, I feel it. I don't understand what you went through because I didn't go through it, but I feel your fucking pain. Like, I understand the pain of not, I'm talking everything you said, like, from beginning to end, like, oh, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, I used to sit down and break bread with my predators. Every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, yeah. I'm sitting at a damn table across the motherfucker who molested me, talking about, hey, what's going on? How you doing? I love you. What kind of shit is that? You know, my grandparents passed and I got up one day and I said, I'm not doing this shit no more. I told my daddy, I said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to break bread with them. If they're going to be there, I'm not telling you not to have them. If that's what y'all want to do, more power. But what I'm not going
to
do
is subject myself to that.
Myself to that to make y'all feel okay about what happened. Because y'all all fucked up as far as I'm concerned. Nobody took care of the children. And I'm not just me. I'm not the only one that went through this.
Right.
So no one took care of the children. Y'all was all too busy being drunk and broken yourselves to even understand or see what was happening. You know what I mean? And I'm with you. I try to look at it and say, okay, well, they didn't know shit. You know, there was a time in my life I didn't know shit. You know, and I didn't know what to do and how to do it. But then, you know, at some point, most people say, I need to be accountable for something. I need to take some responsibility in my life. You think, because that's where we are, right? You and I. We're at the point where we're like, we're going to take responsibility for this. Okay, they fucked up. I got broken. And then I behaved some kind of way. But now what? Because I can't keep saying it was them forever.
That's true.
They broke me, but they're not the ones who are going to be able to heal me.
Right.
So here you are, unfiltered, telling the world I've been broken repeatedly. But also here I am.
Yep.
Roe Williams doing her damn thing.
10 toes down.
Okay. And you're doing more than just this book.
Yes.
Right? You're out there. You're doing a million things. What are you doing?
Well, what all are you doing? I have a nonprofit organization called Moving Forward. So Moving Forward was birthed out of my own sexual assault. And took some time to get there, clearly. But just being able to speak and given a platform where I can go and speak to many, many women about what happened to me. And what's crazy about that is growing up the way that I grew up, you have this false sense of strength. And so you just keep pushing and you just keep doing things because you don't want to face
right
the other side or be vulnerable.
Right.
So a week after my assault, went back to class at UAB and talk to some people about some of the things because my face was messed up and people were asking what happened.
Right.
I guess they may have thought maybe I had a boyfriend, he beat me up, but that's not what happened.
Right.
But, and out of that little small class, I think maybe 15 people, four women in there had a shared experience.
Mm.
So being able to kind of, speak to people,
right.
Speak to other people who've gone, not just women, other people who've gone
right.
through that type of assault,
mm-hmm.
and speak to them about reporting, not reporting, rape kits, all the things that may make them scared to do anything else
right.
or keep it a secret.
Right, right.
And how much power it is in getting yourself healed and doing the other things
right.
that you need to do for yourself.
Right, and being able to move past. Being able to move past exactly what, you know, those type of things and being able to share that because there's so many, it's not like, you know, you think about it, but you don't realize, you know, everything seems to always happen for women in movements, right? So like there's a movement for this and we have to have a movement for that and we have to, okay, that's all fine and gravy because, you know, we're moving forward as a whole unit. But I think a lot of us individually get lost in that. We're not.
Yeah.
There's a movement. That's great. Let's do. But are we involved in that movement? Are we?
It's a movement.
Personally.
It's a personal experience. Like I go to court with women. I get phone calls in the middle of the night, early in the morning. I'm available.
Right.
To talk with you. You can't sleep. You need somebody to talk to. It's fine. I'm here for that.
Right.
Because those are the type of things that you need. And sometimes
right.
family or friends don't quite understand.
They can't.
They don't understand
they
the
can't.
Experience.
Right.
They can't.
It's impossible. Right. They can't have that moment with you.
Right.
They can't. It's just...
So I open myself up to be there.
That's...
And do that thing.
That's all. But that's a lot. Like, I mean, you do realize... Like, I didn't even know all of this, to be honest with you. So I'm just learning, so I'm a little shocked, y'all. So... That's like a huge thing because I think all of us, as broken as we are, walk this journey alone.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know?
But no one should.
No one should because we need someone to sit down to, like you and I are even talking. Like for me, as far as I'm concerned, this is healing for me. You know what I'm saying? We're doing a podcast and that's all fine and good and it looks all great. But at the end of the day, shit, I'm healing some wounds too because I'm sitting with you, you know, as woman to woman. And like, this is what we've been through. And we've been through similar shit. And it, you know, I tell people all the time because they're always like, oh, you're so happy and you're so this
yeah.
and you're so that. And oh, da, da, da. I was like, if you even knew a piece of my brokenness, like, you know, and finally I just got bullets. Like, I started bulleting shit, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to talk about it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, here it is. This is who I am. This is what I've been through. And, you know, either... be there and understand that that's where I'm at and, you know, come through for me or, you know, you ain't gotta contribute any of your energy or time to it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But I've been through this bullet and so I'm gonna stand for bullet. You know what I mean? And there's always gonna be a sensitive part of me about bullet. And,
yes.
you know, this is where I'm at. So you're writing the book. You have your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing more than that.
So with my t-shirt business, we're going to put out some shirts with affirmations. And the idea just came to me because one day I made, it's super crazy. I wasn't feeling like the best.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I'm always pushing my kids to affirm themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got up that morning and I was like, I'm feeling it, but, and then I was like, okay, girl, you got to do something. So I was like, I'm dope. I really am.
I'm dope ass chick. Yeah.
And so I was like, cool. I'm going to make me a t-shirt. This is right before I go to work. I make this shirt, put the shirt on. I come to work. You got this on, but you're not thinking about it.
Right.
And. And then I looked at it and I was like,
yes.
I forgot about that. And it made me feel good. And it was a constant reminder. Once in the bathroom, I looked at myself in the mirror. It's right there. I'm dope. And
right.
It made me think about what are all the things that make me dope?
Right.
What are all the things that make me great?
Right.
So I want to give other people that kind of constant.
Right.
Affirmation.
Right. So they can see it and state it, and then people read it and then push that energy back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. And so, you know, I feel that because I love the word dope. That's my word. Like, if you ain't got a dope ass mind, don't talk to me. If you ain't got a dope ass whatever, then no. You know, like, are you dope? Hell yeah, I'm dope as hell. You know what kind of shit I've been through? This is where I'm at.
That's what that line is supposed to do.
I seen your little Facebook post with your little sexy outfit on, your little t-shirt. I'm like, yes. And so what's the name of the t-shirt company? Because you have a name.
T-shirt company is Nude. And I chose that word, and I chose that spelling because it's new. Actually, new design.
Right.
And it's bare thoughts.
Period.
That's it.
It's what it is. Like affirmations, like you said, declarations, and you get people talking to you and saying them back to you. And, you know, that, which, you know, I say this all the time. I'm one of them chicks that jumps in people's inbox. And I'm going to be honest, definitely myself. 100% definitely my seeds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think about it sometimes. Like there's certain people that probably need it more than others, like my mother and my father. But I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they
and
would be receptive.
You don't have to rush to be there.
Right. And I don't even know if they'd be receptive to it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm that chick that is in people's inbox. You know, I believe in you. And, you know, I think you're, you know, I think you're dope.
Yeah.
I think you're a cool person, you know, and there's nothing else. I don't need to say anything. That's all I need to say. You don't have to respond. I just want you to know I think you're dope today or whatever,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and my daughter, my seed, have this conversation all the time. And I say, you know, I do it, but I'm a rare person. There aren't a lot of people. My inbox ain't full. It's full, but it ain't full of no affirmations. You know what I'm saying? It's full of unsolicited information from male species, but it's not full of somebody telling me I'm fucking dope as shit. Now, don't get me wrong, I got a couple of people that do.
Yeah.
But what if all of us started really, like, just to a few people who you know, if I see something sad on Facebook about somebody, I usually inbox them directly, even if I don't know them. And you know, and be like, you know, just, hey, look, I can't help you. I'm not a minister or pastor. I'm not a healer. I'm not any of those things. I'm not, but just know, you know, like, I'm thinking about you and I understand your pain and, you know, that's it. You ain't got to respond again. You know, it's just, I'm just so that you're here. And I think it's important. So to get that out there, like, hey, here I am. I'm dope and I'm dope for these reasons. And hey, you know what? I think I'm dope too. If you're dope because of you that, then hey, because love shit, I might be dope too.
Right.
You know, you get people on that level. And so that's exciting. I'm glad you're at this place with yourself. Like, I think it's important for humans to heal. Let me say that. I think it's important for men to heal. Let me say that. But the reason that I feel it's so important for women to heal is because my opinion, my thoughts, not everybody's, but I believe in the balance of men and women. I believe that we are who we are. Not as a spiritual person, but just as this person, you know. This is who we are, these women, us women. You know, we are that person that, and it's in our energy to nurture. You know what I mean? So, I think the most important thing about women healing is that I don't know how we're supposed to nurture if we are not healed.
That's true.
And so, because it is, I mean, I think probably our first thing is to nurture. You know, I mean, we create life. We need help getting it started, but we are the actual, you know, developer of life. And that's where I think our first just innate energy is to nurture. And how do we do that when we are just so broken?
I don't want to give all the details of the book.
Me either.
But I do touch on that too. Having the two girls super close together, and then taking on the responsibility of my little sister as well. And I knew the basics. I knew to feed them, bathe them, make sure their clothes were clean and their hair combed nice and pretty, and teach them the ABCs. I knew those things, but I didn't know the other stuff.
Right, the important shit.
Yeah, and I have My kids have two sets of godparents, and they are absolutely the best. Mm-hmm. And they got it a lot. My children are as sane and whole
right.
as they are because of their influence. Mm-hmm. And their influence mm-hmm. in their lives and mm-hmm. their influence on me. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't know and you haven't had the right example, you don't know.
You don't know. And you don't know to know. You don't. You know, I'm going to go here. I have to, but now's the perfect time to do it. But, you know, there's, you know, this whole narrative that gets pushed, especially from, you know, and I know this conversation has nothing to do with black folks, but there's a whole narrative that is pushed, though, that, you know, you absolutely have to be a certain way. Whatever that narrative is. So this narrative is pushed that if this happens, then, you know, this happens. Or it's pushed that if this happens, then, you know, this happens. And there is such a narrative push in the black community about women and how to be and how to behave and how to think. And it's so pushed that it's almost tunnel vision.
Yeah.
A lot. You know what I'm saying? And...
Or you can either be this way,
right.
or you can be this way.
Right,
and then... there's no in-between, there's no co-mingling, there's no...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, like there's just this because that's all they knew. And at the end of the day, until you know what you know, you in the same position they was in. You might be in a little bit forward. You might have evolved a little bit more.
Yeah.
You might have a little bit more knowledge than they do. But you're still in the position and the energy that I didn't fucking know any better. Because there wasn't anybody telling me to heal. You know, how do you raise heal whole children when you aren't broken and can't nurture? How do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you feel like this, but I say it here. My kids taught me way more.
Yeah.
Even to this day, still teach me. And even if I don't want to be taught, now listen, sometimes I don't want to hear what the hell they saying. I don't like it. Like, you ain't grown. You ain't about to tell me shit. But they right.
All of the major things. I'm laughing because my kids taught me how to move. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. You know, I didn't have that growing up. And they got hula hoops and they were like, no, you don't know how to do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get a chance.
Right, you didn't have that.
A child.
That's not what grandmas did. That's not what grandmas did. That's what mamas did.
Right.
You know, grandmas had a certain role.
Right.
And just because, not saying, you know, your grandma could have been the greatest grandma in the whole wide world, but she was a grandma to you nonetheless.
Right.
So there were certain things that you missed out on.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that until you were talking about it, but that makes sense to me. To me, it makes sense because they just, again, tunnel vision. There's certain roles that you have and you can't necessarily step. Some people can't teeter totter. Some people can. Some people can be all of these things in people's lives, but some people can't. Yeah. And grandmas are, you know, I would say, especially black grandmamas, you know, they got a whole... My daughter just posted something. She said, you know, I remember picking pecans off her tree and watching certain cartoon and her braiding my hair till I fell asleep. Well, she ain't got that memory with my mama. You know what I'm saying? But her grandmother did exactly what she should have done for her. You know what I mean? She gave her, even though she was broken and not necessarily healed in the way we probably thought about, she was still able to nurture.
Right.
You know, and nurture her and, you know, as her... on her black side, you know, and give her what she needed as a black woman and a black child.
Right.
Which I could never do, ever. Not even, you know, it ain't ever gonna matter because we all know Kim wakes up white every day. So, we need all of those roles.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stay in them. And I think it's, you know, impressive that you were able to, even in the depths of your pain, reach down to your children and be like, even if I can't get it right, I'm going to find some ways to help y'all at least attempt to get it right.
Try.
You know, at least try. At least, you know, get it out there. So,
yeah. You
know, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the book. I can't wait. I read it, but I was already like, I've been in my feelings for 2 days already. I probably should have waited, but, you know, I mean, but, you know, when you understand where people come from after you know them, I wouldn't have sat here and looked at you and said, this was your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what I see when I walk in here every day, and besides your big old smile to my head, she kind of like my girl, you know, is the smile and is the energy. And it's not, there are probably days when it's fake. I get it. You know, I do the same thing. But overall, you know, when you walk in, that's not what you see.
Right.
You know what I mean? You see, I don't like words like survivor and all that. Well, fuck that. I am a whole fucking woman right now. That's how I feel about myself. And that's how I feel about you when I see you. Like, she's a whole fucking woman. Like, what's she been through? Because here she is now at this place where she's finally, hey, I'm out and I'm about and I'm doing all of these things. And you're giving back. Like, there's just nothing better than to reach back to people who don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody say, be the mother you never had, or be the mother that you needed, or be the adult that you needed, whoever it was that you needed in your life at whatever given time, you know, be that person.
Yeah.
And I think you're being that person, and I'm grateful that, you know, I'm grateful I walked in here, I'm grateful I found out about this place, but, you know, that doesn't happen for me a lot, but I've come to the conclusion that I'm not waiting for Thanksgiving.
Timing.
Yes, I'm not, you know, I'm not waiting for Thanksgiving to be grateful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I tell people I have minimal interactions with you. You know, like, I'm really grateful that I ran across you today, you know, but you're one of those people that I'm grateful. I like coming in here. I like seeing your face. I like, you know, our talks and talking shit and not talking shit and talking pain and whatever, you know, and, you know, I'm only here to encourage you and uplift you. Like, I cannot wait for the book to be done so I can read it and cry and snot coming out my nose and shit. I'm sure that'll happen. You know what I mean? And I'm excited for everything that you're doing. You know what I mean? Across the board, everything that you're doing, how you're empowering yourself and your seeds. And I'm again grateful. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that I met you. I'm grateful that you came on my show finally after all these damn months.
I know.
Get it done. So, you know, I'm gonna of course tag you in all of this so you can, you know, and you guys follow her, buy her products, be empowered, you know, say your affirmations, read her book when it comes out, Unfiltered. Her name's Romel Williams. She'll be on my page, and you know, I'm again, thank you so much for showing up. I appreciate it. I'm very, very happy about the whole thing. So I'm excited to get it published and out there. And I know, girl, yes. If y'all can see us, y'all be clowning on us right now because we acting up behind the scenes. So I appreciate each and every one of y'all showing up for this episode and taking the time to listen. You know how I feel about y'all. I love y'all. I believe in y'all. Peace out. See you next time. Bye.